Cameron doing such a good job at leading us singing. Okay, for the scripture reading and all who have led in service thus far. I don't like to talk about myself. I really don't want to do this, but I think it's probably the best because there are a lot of concern expressed, and I appreciate that so much. Y'all have been so good to me and to Stacy. But just to kind of give you a what's going on and to help answer the questions, probably the best thing to do is just do it from up here. I'm dealing with a significant amount of back pain, and I've tried several different ways to try to address that without surgery, but it looks like it's headed to surgery. So I have a myelogram tomorrow, and after the neurosurgeon reads that, then he'll get with me and we'll have a plan going forward. He's already told me that he's pretty sure we're going to have to go in and strengthen my spine. Don't know what that entails. It sounds like rods, but we'll see. But that's where we are at this point. And I'm also working with a local doctor here. My neurosurgeon is with the Hal Allen Group from St. Thomas, and I'm working with a local doctor here, Dr. Burstyn, for pain management. And so that's what's going on, and that's why I was not able to be with you this morning, and I regret that. I do not like to not be in the pulpit. My appreciation goes to you and especially to our elders. They've been very understanding and very supportive in this, and hopefully we will get this addressed and it will not be an issue for too much longer. This coming Sunday, Lord willing, and I'm praying that I'll be able to hold up to it, I start a gospel meeting at Gilroy, which is in the Smyrna area, and so I will be gone this coming Sunday, but you will be taken good care of by Ben, and I know that you always enjoy getting to hear him preach. Tonight we continue with our Sermons in Song series as we look at the song, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. This is such a beautiful song. It's beautiful in the way that it's written. It is a well-written song. I appreciate when songs are well-written and the talent that goes into that, but it's even more beautiful for the message that it contains. O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Of course, a reference to God as we seek blessings from Him, and we are the recipients of the love that He bestows upon us. O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for song of loudest praise. God is the source of all of our blessings. All good and perfect gifts come from above. He is the reason why we receive the good in our life, and sometimes, He is the reason why we receive the painful things that bring about the good that we need in our lives. Sometimes He is the reason why we are chastened for our good, so that we may be faithful to Him and have a home in heaven. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We quite often focus on the first part of this verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. But it is that last phrase that really gives me comfort. Because you see, people change. And people, even people that you trust, they can let you down. Sometimes you will let yourself down. Because people are people. God doesn't change. With God, there is no variation or shadow of turning, not even the least, not even the slightest. He is who He is. He said to Moses from the burning bush, "I am." And that is a significant statement. That is a significant name for God. Within that is the constants. Within that is the source of steady hope that we have in Him. He who always has been and always will be and never changes. Sometimes I hear people talk about the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. My friends, there is no such thing as a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. There is simply God. Who He has been and how He has worked through people has always been constant with His grand scheme as He has laid out that scheme of redemption, which brings us to where we are under the grace of God covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The word "found" refers to the endless supply of blessings. Jesus told that woman at the well, "If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of me of water, and I would give to you water never ending." He is the source. He is the fount from which blessings flow, and there is no end to His goodness. There is no end of His benevolence. There is no end of His love. There is no end of His justice. He just keeps on giving. I wish you and I could truly appreciate the blessings we have. But we can't. And we don't. I would dare say that's most likely true of all of us. I'm not saying we don't appreciate it. I know you appreciate your blessings, and I appreciate my blessings. But to the fullest extent, truly appreciating what God has done for us, truly appreciating how blessed we are in this country with all of the abundance that we have. And we'll complain about the economy, and we'll complain about higher prices, and we'll complain about the fact that we had to take our car to the mechanic, and we'll complain if the temperature on the thermostat is a little too high or a little too low, won't we? Let's be honest. Do you realize how blessed we are? You realize how blessed we are to have this beautiful building that we have together in? The PA system, the power points, the padded pews, the air conditioner, the heater, the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we leave this place, we'll go to our vehicles and we'll turn a key and it'll take us home. Or maybe we'll stop off at a rest drive and fill up before we go home. And it's commonplace to us, so we don't think about it. I want you to think about it for a moment. Now, I can appreciate that, although I don't appreciate it to its fullest, like I should, always. I appreciate it much more since I've seen how people live in India. Since I've walked the streets of the villages in India, since I've gone to villages to preach, and we were blessed with the group that I work with Jack Honeycutt and now Zach Holmes and the Willette congregation, we're blessed to have a bus there. And we're blessed to have quarters where the missionaries can stay. Now, my first trip to India when I was 20 years old, we didn't have any of that. And I was with a different people at a different time. Have you ever thought of the blessing of a sewer system? Has it ever crossed your mind? Has it ever crossed your mind to think of the fact that you flush a commode and you forget about it? I'd like to take you to India, where the sewage runs down the sides of the street, where people live in that condition, where there are people, homeless people, who are living right there beside the sewage on the side of the street. Now, how blessed are we? How blessed are we? See, God just keeps on giving us blessings. And one thing that I've noticed is that when you go to India and you teach people about Christ, then and they start to read the Bible, it starts to transform their lives. And they began to live a different lifestyle. They began to live a life that is cleaner and a life that reflects values and integrity. And they see these things that come from God, and God blesses those people, even our brothers and sisters in India. And I tell you, sometimes when I look at my brothers and sisters in India, or in Guyana, where I've done mission work, or in Panama, or in Poland, and I look at these places and these people who don't have what we have, but then I see something. I see a willingness and a desire that they will sit on the dirt in a hut or under the shade of a tree in 110 degree weather, and they will sit there for hours on dirt with a thirst for the gospel and singing praises to God. Let's never complain. Let's never complain. And we have nothing to complain about. If the temperature is a little too hot for you, a little too cold for you, just let it remind you of the fact that we've been blessed to have an AC. And thank God for it. When things go wrong, as I mentioned the other day, and someone in a conversation reminded me of this, if you have a flat on your car, be thankful you have a car to have a flat on. And be thankful that you have the resource to have it fixed. The other day I had to take my truck, my water pump went out. I came in from services and steam coming out from under my hood. Picked up my phone, looked at mechanics near you on Google, and I found one, had high ratings. I was able to read the ratings, and I called them. They said, yeah, bring it on in. I brought it to them. The next day, Stacy took me by, and I picked up my truck, drove on. What a blessing to have that kind of resource. And let's never take it for granted. We're blessed to have jobs. We're blessed to have hospitals. And when you get sick, let it remind you of how blessed we are to have the ability to have those things fixed. I met a man, his name was Ram, in Guyana. I was there with medical missions group, and Ram was brought in. He was paralyzed. from his neck down. They brought him in a car, and he was laying in the back seat, and they pulled him out, and they brought him in, and he had some medical needs attended to, and then they brought him over to me to study the Bible with. And he stood there, because he couldn't sit. And he stood there as we studied the Bible, and he came back. They brought him again in a car, and they carried him in. I believe it was the third Bible study. Ram said, I want to be baptized. Paralyzed from the neck down. It took four of us. We found a hotel that had a swimming pool. And it took four of us to get him into the water and baptize him. We baptized him into Christ. He was so happy. He was so happy. You see, they didn't have the medical care there to attend to him, but we found out about some doctors who would be willing to work on him and see if they could help him, and they did. We were able to give him some motion in his body where he could function. And sometimes, you know, if I'm hurting in my back like I am now, I have nothing to complain about. I think about Ram, and I'm just so, so thankful. God is blessing us over and over and over and over again. Please don't take it for granted. And I know it's so easy to, we all do, because we're so used to it. Most of us don't know what it's like to live without all of the blessings that we have. God just keeps on giving. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. The idea of tuning my heart to sing thy grace is get my mind ready, get my heart ready. The heart is really the mind, the poetic expression of the mind. It's not that blood pump. Tune my mind, get my mind ready to sing your grace, because it's going to take all day. And it's going to take words that I don't have. I don't have the words to express the proper gratitude to God and to express the amount of grace that He has given me and that He bestows upon those who come to Him. I have the Bible. You have the Bible. We can share that with others. Kate read for us in Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Now I want us to take a look at that. Notice that in this passage, and we usually use this to talk about singing in worship, and that God commands us to sing a cappella and to sing in unison with each other, and that excludes instrumental music. I preached that sermon, believe me, you're going to hear it. I believe that with all my heart, but that's not what I want us to focus on today. Look at that passage. Let the peace of God. Notice the times that there is a reference to our heart or something that our heart does. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So what is this singing that God is commanding or is talking about? What is it Paul is expressing here? It is the expression of the peace of God ruling in my heart. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse number two. Be thankful. That I am extolling God's praises, and I'm using this moment to show Him my love and my appreciation for all He has done for me. Where the blessed Son of God who died on the cross for me, for the fellowship that I have with my brothers and sisters, and I'm thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. How does the word of Christ dwell richly in you? It dwells in your heart. It dwells in your mind. You fill yourself up on the Word of God, and it dwells in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with, notice this, grace in your heart to the Lord. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That's a graciousness that I am expressing, a response to the grace that He has bestowed upon me. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In that passage there, those three verses, Colossians 3, 15 through 17, we see that the peace of God is to rule in your hearts, to be thankful, that the Word of God is to dwell richly in all wisdom. We are to be singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And we are giving thanks to God. That's six. Somehow I got five there, but there's six. Have you ever thought about that? When you've read this passage, have you ever thought about how much it talks about your heart? Why do we sing? Why do we sing? Why do we lift our voices and praises to God? Because He has blessed us so richly, and He has filled our hearts with grace, and He has filled our hearts with peace. And our singing is a response to Him. So, brother, sister, lift up your voice. Don't worry about how loud the person next to you is singing. You just lift up your voice and you sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You extol His praises. And sing it as a reflection of all He has done for you. The fount refers to the endless supply of His blessings because He just keeps on giving. Tuning our heart is making ready the mind. Our praise to God is a result of a grateful heart. Teach me ever to adore Thee. May I still Thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Teach me ever to adore Thee. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 5. O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked to You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Thus, I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth and shall praise You with joyful lips. You see how that the psalmist is saying, my praise to You comes out of an overflow of the abundance of what You have filled my heart with. And I thirst for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land. Oh, don't we live in a dry and thirsty land? Speaking spiritually, as we look around us, we see the wickedness of this society. And it is indeed a desert. It is a dry and thirsty land. And when we see that, it ought to cause us to thirst for God, to be filled with His holiness, to be filled with His peace, and to live close to Him every day. May I still Thy goodness prove. The goodness of God first benefits us, then it lives in us, and finally it shines forth from us. We receive the benefit of His goodness and we see it. And we respond to it We obey the gospel and then it lives in us. And as it is fulfilled in us, His goodness shines forth from us. And so we do good and we spread His gospel, His message of peace, His message of reconciliation, His message of repentance, His message of holiness and this wilderness in which we live. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance, my God. Why are you cast down? Hope in God. You are a child of God. No matter what you go through, no matter what you are going through, no matter what awaits you, there's always, always hope. Hope in God. And receive the peace that passes all understanding. While in Guyana, a little girl, I believe she was 13, she looked younger than that. Beautiful, beautiful young girl. Very, very sick. She was brought to us at the clinic. Our doctors tried to help her. Within a couple of days, we received the news that she was dead. And the local preacher there at Enmore, Guyana, and I, we were invited to attend the funeral for the little girl. In Guyana, the houses in that area, the houses are built on stilts because it floods. And also because that provides shade from the hot sun. They would basically gather under their houses like we might gather on a porch or a back deck. And the family was gathered under the house as we walked up, and I saw that beautiful little girl's body lying in a beautiful hand-carved casket covered in ice. No embalming. And then I listened as the Hindu priest, she was Hindu, her family was Hindu. And I listened as the Hindu priest was speaking in their language, and I don't know what he said. I don't know what he could say, because he had no hope to offer that family, none whatsoever. Maybe she'll be reincarnated and who knows what. Might be the only hope that he could provide. And that's no hope at all. The well that I heard coming from that mother's mouth still haunts me to this day. I cannot say that I have ever heard hopelessness like I heard it that day coming from that mother's mouth. And then Kenneth, the local preacher, was able to get up and speak to them and offer them some words of consolation from God. The God of all comfort. The God of consolation. The God of peace. And I thought, what a contrast. What a contrast. What would it be like to live with no hope? See, we have something to look forward to, don't we? A beautiful place called heaven, where Jesus has gone to prepare for us a dwelling place, an abode. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There's a lot of discussion about what heaven's like. Is it really streets of gold? Is it really mansions? Or is it dwelling places? Is it just give me a rug at the foot of God's throne and I'll be happy. I don't care about the gold. I don't care about the crystal. I don't care about the mansions. I care about being in the presence of God forever. And we will have that. We will dwell in the presence of Him in all of His glory forever. And God shall wipe away all tears. There'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, no more suffering, no more debts. All of those things will pass away. Child of God, if you lose everything that you own, you still have hope and you still have faith, and that cannot be taken away from you. You can throw it away, but it cannot be taken away from you. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. You know what an Ebenezer is? It has nothing to do with a Scrooge. Do you understand what you're singing? You sing that. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, we find this Ebenezer. The Israelites have been defeated by the Philistines. Samuel told them to repent and put away the false gods and to serve only God. They did that. They obeyed. And Samuel sacrificed a lamb to God for them as seeking forgiveness for the people in their repentance. And God caused a great thunder to confuse the Philistines, and He gave the victory to the Israelites. And Samuel set up a stone there as a monument, and he named it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. And he said, thus far, the Lord has helped us. And that Ebenezer, that stone named Ebenezer, was set up to be a reminder, not only for that generation, but generations to come, that they were where they were because of God, that God had helped them. So when we sing, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, we are saved. God, In a figurative way, this is my Ebenezer. I'm raising it up to you. God, I realize, I am confessing that it is by your help that I have come where I am. And it is by your help that I will get where I'm going. I've come here through you. And I praise you. And I glorify you. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Willow Avenue family. Thus far, the Lord has helped us, and thus far, He has brought us where we are, and He has blessed us, and He will carry us forward as long as we are faithful to Him. He allowed His people to be defeated until they repented of their error and came to Him. Let us always seek God's will. Let us always put God's will first. Let us always seek for biblical authority for what we do. Let us always trust God, and He will take care of us. I challenge you to pray when you are dealing with any circumstance, when you have a decision to make, to take that to God and pray about it and pour your heart out to Him, but pray this, and only pray it if you mean it. Thy will be done. If this is right, Lord, bless it. If it is not, defeat it. I trust you. I live my life by those words. I stand in this pulpit today by those words, by that prayer. Over and over again, if this is your will, Lord, bless it. If it is not, defeat it. Thy will be done. And I believe with all of my heart that I stand here today because it is His will. Live your life in prayer. And always trust God to fulfill His will in your life. It may not be the answer you're looking for. There are times I've prayed that prayer, and God defeated what I thought I wanted. Here I raise my Ebenezer. I have come thus far through the help of God. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Matthew 18, verses 12 through 14. Jesus said, What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God does not desire anyone to perish. He desires for all to come to Him. And Jesus gives us this parable to display for us His devotion to us. Yes, we are devoted to Him, but He is even more devoted to us. He loves you. He desires to be close to you. That is the reason why we have His Word. That is the reason why we have these commandments. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they hurt. But they bring us close to Him, and they allow us to live in righteousness before Him. And when we fail, we have the washing of His blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If you walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. That's how we can be holy before a holy God. We have not a holiness of our own. We don't have the capacity to be holy. But we have the precious fount of the blood of Jesus that washes us and presents us as holy before God. He imputes to us a righteousness that is not our own, and presents us as righteous and as holy before God. Yes, child of God, if you are walking in the light, and you're receiving that continual cleansing, you are a holy child of God. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Because of God's grace, I am free. Because of God's goodness, I am bound to him. Let thy goodness like a fetter. That fetter would be something like a shackle. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind me to you. I want to be close to you. It's a song that says, I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. He is my God and I adore him. I worship him. I serve him. I long for him. As a deer, David said, pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. With a thirst, with a hunger, with a passion. We are indebted to God for his grace daily. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. He daily loads us with benefits. Have you ever thought about that? Every day. God blesses us so richly. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. My heart is his. Seal for him only. Your heart, child of God, is his. Sealed for him only. Sealed away from the world. Sealed away from Satan. Sealed away from the enticements to the lust of the flesh. His and his alone. To wander from him is to face the world without him. To face eternal destruction away from his presence. And so we seek his presence. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, reminds us that God leads us by the waters in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Reminds us how that he is like our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for him. It's all for him. It's always for him. My life is to glorify him. That's my purpose for living, is to glorify him. And if I suffer, let it glorify him. If I'm in pain, let it glorify him. If I am blessed, let it glorify him. If I am cursed, let it glorify him. If I'm free, let it glorify him. If I'm in prison, let it glorify him. God is always glorified in my life. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He shows us the way. So, let us sing together, O thou fount of every blessing. And sing it. Sing it from your heart.
O thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of gladdest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the whole of endless glory
Is he your God? Are you living your life to honor and glorify him? Are there things that you need to make right so that you can live your life to honor and glorify him? And then you can raise your Ebenezer. Say, here's where I've come by God's help, and I'm leaving here, and I'm going on with God's help. If you're not a child of God, then we invite you to come to him. Jesus gave his life for you as a sacrifice. He offers his blood to cleanse your soul. And if you would come to him, he offers you a life with him and a home in heaven. Turn away from sin, confess Jesus as the Son of God, be buried with him in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, rising to walk a life with him. Would you come while we stand and sing?